Nerdy Boys Reviews, your weekly nerd podcast where the new and old in movies is discussed. Explicit content warning, material on this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. And spoiler warning, material on this podcast will be fully spoiled. So if you have not seen the movie in question, pause the podcast and, you know, go watch it and then come back. How's it going, everyone? So today, I am Nerdy Boy Christian putting out some content. I'm going to talk about Shazam, guys, because, you know, I've seen Shazam, and it needs to be talked about. Unfortunately, no one else I really know has seen the movie, so I can't really talk about it with anyone else. But, hey, I'm still here. I'm still going to talk about it. Just me. I'm going to make sure you guys hear my thoughts on this film. So, Shazam was a movie. It's the latest installment in the DCEU universe. Based on the latest news, it sounds like they're trying to do a bunch of, like, kind of one-off independent films that aren't going to cross over too much, but we'll see what happens with that in the future. But Shazam, by itself, wasn't a bad movie. DC's been on a bit of a roll. They had Aquaman come out in December, which was really, really good. Made over $1 billion, which is fantastic for a DC movie. And, you know, when you look at Justice League, only made $500 million. So, DC has struggled. Obviously, we know that. It's a hugely divided base of people. With certain movies, like Man of Steel is a very controversial film in many ways. Some people love it, some people hate it. BVS is visceral hatred from a lot of people and visceral love from other, not visceral love, but, you know, passionate love from other people. So, it's been swings and misses and divided fan bases. Justice League, I think, universally was panned by most people. Suicide Squad was not great either, but Wonder Woman, you know, was a huge step forward. And then when we got Aquaman, we're like, oh, okay, so, like, you know, there's something here. And now we have Shazam. And anybody who's familiar with me, maybe follows our Instagram or follows my personal Instagram, knows I'm a big fan of Shazam. I've cosplayed as Shazam, or, as you know, a lot of people at cons like to say, Captain Marvel. You know, it's not Shazam, it's Captain Marvel. People love to call Shazam Captain Marvel because of the history with the character, who was always called Captain Marvel until Marvel decided to name their own character Captain Marvel and win some licensing over that. And eventually DC gave in anyway, because a lot of people already called the character Shazam because of, you know, he says Shazam. So they just decided to name him Shazam. But Shazam is actually the name of the wizard who grants Billy Batson, the kid, his powers. And in the movie, we get a lot of comic book lore and origin. And, I mean, it's necessary in a lot of ways for people. And here's what I'll say about Shazam. Shazam was not, in my opinion, better than Aquaman, but a lot of people believe it was, and I can see why. Shazam has a lot to it. It has heart. It's fun. And if you love comic book stories, then that's what this is. For me, I love to talk about the Marvel films and how they don't really take comic book stories and try to put them on screen. They try to just stay true to the characters and do versions of stories, but with a lot of differences. They really do adaptations, which is what you need to do to make things make a lot of sense. But what DC has struggled to do is just that. They get their characters wrong a lot of times while trying to pursue a comic book story. I don't think they got Shazam necessarily wrong. I think when you have the character of Shazam, you know, the adult version, the Zachary Levi character, well, that's the actor, but when it's the big one, right, when it's Shazam, they do a good job of having him act like a child, having him, behave in childish ways, so that it's not like a completely different character. Like, you can sense the Billy Batson, the child, the 11-year-old or whatever age he is, inside of there. And to me, that's really significant. And you know, one of the things I initially disliked about the movie was I felt like there's kind of false conflict between Freddie and Billy when, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, you're acting this way and this and that. And, like, it's just like to me, it feels almost like false conflict. Anything a conversation can solve is false conflict as long as the characters talk to each other. But, you know, when you think about it, that's what kids do. Like, they kind of are in their own way. Like, they're not overly communicative to some extent, and I think that helps you understand a little more what's going on and the motivations of Billy Batson as a whole. So the movie itself, you know, like I said, it's funny, it has heart. The foster children and the family he ends up with is really interesting, like heartwarming kind of stuff. The little girl in the movie, she's just wonderful. One of my favorite characters in the entire film was the little girl. I forgot her name because I haven't seen the movie in like almost a month now. I saw like the 2-week preview of it, but I just wanted to talk about it because what I will say is, back on the point about making comic book movies, is that's what this is. If you've read New 52 Shazam back in 2011, I believe, if you read any of that, that's what this is. And anybody who read that is going to love this movie. They're going to get so much out of it, unless they're very, very staunch, like, make the comic book into a reality kind of people. Because what they essentially did was they took a story and they replaced Black Adam with Dr. Savannah, which some people might not like, because Black Adam is probably the most well-known villain for Shazam, and people probably really wanted to see him in the movie. It's worth noting that Dwayne Johnson, who is supposed to play Black Adam, was credited as like an executive producer or something on the movie, so, excuse me, he's very much in the loop on what's going on. They did want to get him in, I think, but they're like, there's just no room, and having to explain his origin as well as Shazam's origin and kind of like explaining all this stuff would be too much for this movie. They wanted it to really focus on Shazam, but at the same time, it focuses on Dr. Savannah quite a bit as well, his story coming up and everything. And that's where my first real criticism of the film is the first 20 or so minutes, all the build-up. Obviously it's necessary, but for a lot of people it's just slow. The lore maybe isn't something a lot of people who aren't familiar with comic books are interested in. Like, to me, it's like kind of interesting, but it's also just very slow. And then after that, the pace really picks up and it just kind of goes scene to scene to scene, like almost like it has no space to breathe. So I think pacing is an issue, but pacing's always an issue in like origin stories and in certain movies. Like, pacing can really throw people out of a movie or bring people into a movie. So that's just a small criticism. But like I said, if you love New 52 Shazam, you know, a lot of people criticize New 52 as a whole or didn't like it. But if you're looking for a comic book version of a character, a comic book story on screen, that's what this is. Almost to a T, I'd say. Like, it's very close. We deal with the Seven Deadly Sins, which, again, anybody familiar with New 52 run will be familiar with these characters. And Dr. Savannah is your substitute for Black Adam in this story. Dr. Savannah in this movie, Mark Strong, I like Mark Strong. I like, he's fantastic in the Kingsman movies. I don't know. I thought the character was kind of one-dimensional. I thought it was kind of bleh, like just Marvel phase one villain kind of character, aside from Loki, obviously, but you know, like that kind of villain. Zachary Levi, whatever, who plays the character of Shazam, I think did a great job. I like Freddie. I like the character of Billy Batson as a whole. You know, there's some emotional stuff when it comes to like his mom, and that plot thread of, you know, how he became a foster kid in the first place and what his mom was going through and kind of like what happened, which obviously this is there's spoilers here, so I can tell you, if you don't want to know, obviously skip ahead, but Billy Batson's mom essentially was like struggling, single mom, whatever, and Billy always thought that she lost him at the fair when really she left him at the fair. Like, she found, like, at first she did really lose him, but then she went back to find him, and then she saw how happy he was, like, with the cops and stuff, and was like, oh, so they, someone else can give you a better life than I can. So she abandoned him, which is really fucking tragic, and sadly probably a reality for a lot of people. But, you know, my opinion on that, if you care for it, is just, if you can't afford to take care of a kid, if you don't have the means, if you don't understand what it takes to be a parent, you shouldn't have kids. You should wait. You should be more responsible. Like, you're affecting your life and your potential kid's life by having kids that you can't really take care of, and it's not fair to put them into a foster system and things like that that might traumatize them or have long-lasting effects on them, which is entirely possible. And that's just quick my opinion. But back to Shazam, back to this movie. We get the family of Shazam, really. That's what we get at the end of this movie. And people who are not familiar with comics or haven't read these Shazam comics might just be really confused. They might go, oh my god, this is cool. Like, this stuff's pretty cool. This is pretty neato burrito. But also maybe they won't. maybe they just will be like, what is going on? Why are all of a sudden the other foster kids, while, you know, they don't know who Mary Marvel is and stuff. Like, they're just like, why are they Shazam now, but only one part of Shazam? Like, obviously Shazam has, you know, powers, you know, Solomon, Atlas, Zeus, you know, etc. Archimedes, Hermes, yeah, some of them, right? So people might just be like, oh, how come some of these ones only have, like, one of his powers, like strength or speed or whatever? But, you know, explaining all that, really, it's probably difficult for them. I appreciate their knack for trying to show you things as opposed to just tell you things through exposition, which I think the first 20 minutes was a combination of that, which makes it kind of slow. But, you know, the movie builds. It gets to a point where it starts moving along pretty quick. The effects are good. It's funny, like I said. I like the actors. The classic Shazam tricks, you know, with the lightning bolts, you know, turning back to Billy, turning to Shazam, like, by saying the word, making the lightning strike someone else. Very cool tricks that they do that you've seen probably in things like Justice League cartoons even, which is really cool. In addition to that, we get Mr. Mind a little bit. If you guys are familiar with Mr. Mind, he is a worm. I think in this movie he was portrayed as a caterpillar, but a small little being with the mind of Hitler, essentially, is what Mr. Mind is. We also get the moment from the New 52 run on Shazam, where he baits out one of the seven deadly sins, rendering the character of Dr. Savannah essentially powerless. A little different, because obviously Dr. Savannah is a substitute for Black Adam from that comic, like I said earlier, but same beat, you know. People who really like the New 52 run, I can't stress it enough, the New 52 run on Shazam, if you love that, or you read it, even if you've read it and weren't particularly fond of it, you're going to love this movie, because there's so many callbacks, so many Easter eggs to it, that it's like, you're going to get way more out of this movie than someone who's never read Shazam or never read that run on Shazam. People who are, like, familiar with, like, WizKid and stuff, like, back in the 40s and 50s and, you know, whatever, early runs on Shazam, you're gonna maybe see this as a new take on the character, but it's really not a new take on the character. It is the New 52 run on Shazam, and I think that benefits a lot of people. I'm not a Shazam expert by any means. Like, like I've told you guys, I'm a big fan of Shazam. I'm not an expert. I haven't read everything that Shazam's ever been in. I'm probably not even close to his biggest fan, but Shazam is really high up there for me on DC, on my list of DC characters I like. And, you know, I've read my fair share, I'll say. And based on this movie, I think they did the character justice, to be honest. And overall, it's a good movie that I wouldn't say is amazing. It's not, to me, on the level that Aquaman was, but it's close. And I definitely want to see it again to really get a better idea. And maybe after I see it, I'll come back and say, you know what? I was wrong. This movie is better than Aquaman. It's the best thing DC's ever done. Because a lot of people are saying that. And when I first, you know, read it after I saw it, because, you know, I saw it, you know, only probably a couple thousand people saw it when I saw it 2 weeks before it came out. So, you know, there weren't many people talking about it. But I know some people who did see it and were saying, yeah, it's better than Aquaman, better than this, better than that, you know. We'll see. I'm going to watch it again and definitely readdress it when I do. Hopefully by that time Scott's seen it, or maybe Daniel or something, and we can talk more in depth about it. But overall, Shazam, there's not a whole lot more to say. It's a fun kind of movie. It has serious moments that are important to note. Some, like I said, the little girl in the foster family is one of the best characters. She's great. Mark Strong wasn't his best performance. Dr. Savannah, he's fine. He's not the best villain. And for people who are mildly familiar with comic books aren't overly familiar with Dr. Savannah, I'd say, I know he's a big villain. I know that most people probably are familiar with him, but a lot of just like kind of casual fans, they are going to be more familiar probably with Black Adam. And even if they're not, it's Dwayne Johnson, so they're going to be excited to see a movie where he plays his villain. But now he's getting his own movie. Is it going to be an anti-hero kind of thing? I don't know. I'm not really interested in talking about that right now. But as far as this movie goes, what it accomplished, what it did, it did good things. It had good effects. It, you know, it worked. It just worked, I think. I put it behind Aquaman, obviously, like I said many, many times. But don't take anything away from this movie, guys. It's a movie I think you can enjoy. I saw it with my girlfriend, and she knows nothing about Shazam, which is perfectly okay. She doesn't read comics. She's not, like, a huge nerd, and that's, you know, what I love that about her, because, you know, it's like, it's a thing where it's like, she can have her things, I can have my things, but it's perfect for me, because I love to hear the opposition kind of view from people that, like, you know, if I go see a comic book movie and I'm like, this was a great comic book movie, and they're like, I didn't really understand it. And I'm like, oh, like I realize a lot. Like, then I'm like, yeah, if they haven't read comics, they're not going to get it. And the for a long time, I was the person who said, well, good, they should read comics. They don't need to get it. And that's what makes it great. But I've learned that things have to stand on their own. Things have to, a movie like Shazam cannot rely on that source material to tell its story. It has to tell its own story that people understand. If you have to read something else to understand it, then it doesn't work as a story, because it doesn't have a beginning, middle, end. It's not concluded. It's open and only exists to be informed by something else, which is why a lot of you can't make a direct adaptation to something that is exactly what it is. It's not an adaptation at that point. It's just, you know, taking what you have in a comic book and putting it on screen, which if you try to do, you're going to realize at certain points, I can't show this. I can't do this in this way. So you have to change it, right? But if you change it, if you don't change the things surrounding it to adapt it properly, it's not going to make sense, or it's going to be out of context or something. And that's what leads to problems. It can leave people feeling cold. It can leave viewers confused. It can give you a feeling of what, kind of like, maybe you don't know how to vocalize the feeling you get, but you know something's weird about it. And you know, me and Scott talked at length about Harry Potter, the first two movies, and how that's exactly what they tried to do. They tried to make exact copies of them on screen, and when they couldn't adapt something, it was out of context. It didn't make sense. People who never read the books would never get it, and that's my biggest problem with those movies, even though they are greatly enjoyable movies. Shazam, I don't think, does that. Shazam has its own story that anybody can get, but if you read the comics, you gain something from them, and that is the genius that lies within Shazam, as well as, you know, things like a lot of what Marvel's done. You know, I'm not a DC hater, to be honest. People probably think I am, because I have such negative opinions on things like BVS. Like, that movie makes me physically angry. But it's because I feel like they're trying to just do Dark Knight Returns and things like that. And these 80s runs on Batman from Frank Miller and stuff, and to me it doesn't work. It's just the characters are wrong. I think Henry Cavill can portray a great Superman, but the writing is wrong oftentimes. The portrayal is wrong. The portrayal of the Kent family is wrong. And if you want a great comic book movie, or if you want a great movie, you stay true to your characters and you change the story. You make the story work. Because Superman, Captain America, these are goody-goody character kind of things, and they can be really hard to write. People think it's easy. Oh, yeah, they're just the good guy. You know what? The good guy is boring. You need depth to characters. You need conflict. You need something within the character that makes them vulnerable, makes it easy to connect with them. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to watch a movie about Superman being this great, perfect guy, which I'm not saying they do. Obviously, they don't. He is a greatly conflicted character, and that's what makes him so. That's what makes readers be able to connect with this character who is an alien, who's not from Earth, but has to experience this, you know, feeling like he doesn't fit in kind of thing, never being able to show his powers, all this. And that's the beauty of the character. So, you know, you have to hit on the vulnerabilities of the characters. And I think that Man of Steel actually did a decent job of that, to be honest. But some writing just makes it go awry. It's not the Superman people want to see, despite the good performance of Henry Cavill. And he has the body, he has the look, he has the smile. I think it all works, but it's not what people want to see, the style of writing. And when you're trying to be too much of a comic book movie, too much of a comic book story, you're limiting yourself to that. Shazam breaks that barrier, and as well as Aquaman. Even Aquaman, you can't say that's comic book character Aquaman, really. You can't say, oh yeah, that's the character I've read about. In some ways you can, but it's not like to his core Arthur Curry Aquaman comics. But they don't hinge themselves on having to be a comic book movie or a comic book story, and that's the beauty of it, right? That's what Wonder Woman did right. That's what Shazam did right. That's what Aquaman did right. That's what BVS did wrong. 100%, that's what BVS did wrong. Suicide Squad, it was just kind of cringy at the best of points. And they try to change the characters as well quite a bit in Justice League. You can change characters a little bit, but you have to stay true to the heart of the character, the meat and bones of the character, down to the nitty-gritty. Like, you don't have to have every detail exact. The look, the this, the little tick, this and that. You don't have to have everything, but you need the heart of the character. And that's why Chris Evans is such a compelling Captain America. That's why RDJ is such a compelling Iron Man. And that's why this worked. This film worked, I think, is they stayed closer to who Billy Batson is and how that informs the character of Shazam. And that's what made me enjoy the movie. I didn't walk away thinking, wow, what a fucking great movie. I walked away thinking this movie was good. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't bad. And that's not the only movie I walked away thinking that from the past couple months, which, you know, we'll talk more about, obviously, coming up. So that's everything I have to say about Shazam, guys. This weekend, I'm hoping to put out some more content. I'll probably have Daniel do the podcast with me. We're probably going to talk about some Captain Marvel, because I never talked about that movie. Talk about Hellboy, which just came out, and the bad reviews around that, and whether we think it was that bad or if we think it was good, because we saw that movie. I also want to talk a lot, because big event, Star Wars Celebration happened. We got a trailer for Episode 9. We got a title for Episode 9. We got news about Clone Wars. We got news about, a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, it's really exciting stuff. Mandalorian, things like that. And, you know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. You know, we can talk about the fandom as well and why I dislike a lot of the Star Wars fan community. Because, you know, some toxicity and stuff that exists within there. But it's the same with almost every huge fan base and stuff. But, you know, I'll talk more at length about that coming up. You know, obviously some news to cover, some different things. A whole bunch of things to talk about, guys. So, very excited about all of that. Thank you for sticking with me. Please share as well your thoughts on Shazam. Make sure maybe you tweet at us, Nerdy Boys Reviews, on Twitter. Send us an email, nerdyboysreview@gmail.com. You know, you can find all the links to everything at nerdyboysreviews.com. And you know, follow us on Facebook. It's difficult. We haven't been posting a lot of updates. We haven't been posting a lot to social media. It's just been difficult. We've both been busy. I'm trying to just get out content because obviously, you know, you guys deserve it, and it's stuff I've been waiting to talk about as well. So you know, life gets in the way sometimes, and it's not what I want to happen. So I'm going to continue to put out content and find people to talk about the nerd shit with. You know, and when Scott has more time, you know, obviously he's going to come back. He's going to want to talk about all this stuff as well. You know, he just needs some time right now to figure out, you know, what's going on, and there's like a lot of going on in his life. It's not my business to share. You know, everybody wish him the best and a speedy, you know, resolution, hopefully, to everything he's been going through, so that, you know, you can hear us bounce off each other, because just me sitting here talking, you know, obviously, you know, my mouth gets a little dry, no, but, it's better to have someone to bounce off of, someone with different ideas, someone who can challenge me, who can say, are you sure, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Like, I need that a lot of times. So I'm not going to do a lot by myself, because I don't like to. I like to have that person to listen to bounce off of, to communicate with, and have that conversation, because this isn't a conversation. It's just me telling you what I think. So if you guys want to have that conversation with me, obviously, like I said, reach out. You know, Twitter is probably the best place, at Nerdy Boys Review on Twitter. And, you know, anybody who wants to potentially be on a podcast or, you know, talk about anything, feel free to reach out, because I'll see what I can do. But, yeah, like I said, that's everything. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please share your thoughts. Leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, because it's very helpful. Rate us, all that good stuff. But that's everything I have for you guys this week. So yeah, stay nerdy, boys.